Thus he spoke, and the noble of Alokiteshvara, Bodhisattva Mahasattva, answered the venerable Sharipati Putra with these words. Shariputra, those men and women of the lineage who wish to follow and practice the profound perfection of wisdom should look at it like this. The five scandhas should be seen purely under natural emptiness. Form is empty, emptiness is form. Emptiness is not other than form. Form also is not other than emptiness. In the same way, feeling, recognition, compositional factors, and consciousness are empty. Shariputra, like this, all phenomena are emptiness. Having no characteristics, they are unborn and unceasing. They are not impure or pure, they neither decrease nor increase. Therefore, Shariputra, in emptiness there is no form, no feeling, no recognition, no compositional factors, no consciousness, no eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no appearance, no sound, no smell, no taste, no sensation, no phenomena. There is no quality of sight and so on. No quality of mind, no quality of mental consciousness. There is no ignorance and no exhaustion in ignorance, and so on, up to no old age and death, and no exhaustion of old age and death. In the same way, there is no suffering, no origin, no ending, and no path, no wisdom, no attainment, and no non-attainment. Therefore, Shariputra, since there is no attainment, bodhisattvas rely on and abide by means of the profound perfection of wisdom. Since their minds have no obscurations, they have no fear. Transcending falsity, they attain nirvana. All the Buddhas who dwell in the three times rely upon the perfection of wisdom, and have become true and complete Buddhas of unsurpassable, perfect, and complete enlightenment. Therefore, the mantra of the profound perfection of wisdom, the mantra of insight, the unsurpassed mantra, the unequaled mantra, the mantra which calms all suffering, should be known as true, for it is not deceptive. The mantra of the perfection of wisdom is proclaimed. Atiyata, om gate gate paragate parasangate bodhisoha. Shariputra, this is how a bodhisattva mahasattva should train the profound perfection of wisdom. Then the Blessed One arose from that samadhi and said to the bodhisattva mahasattva, Noble Avalokiteshvara, that he had spoken well. Well done, O son of the lineage, it is so. O son of the lineage, since it is just so, the profound perfection of wisdom should be practiced just as you have taught, and the Tathagatas will also rejoice. When the Blessed One had said this, the Venerable Sharipati Putra, and Noble Avalokiteshvara, Bodhisattva Mahasattva, and the entire gathering, as well as worldly beings, gods, humans, asuras, and gandharvas, rejoiced.
żyje dom. Gdzie załada nie będzie Ciebie, Yeah.
좀 추울 생일이 제일 와서 합시다.
So we are subject to the practice the Dharma.
추울 생일이 가르쳐 있어 소나 아니 전이 잠비 쇼라 가지니.
So now the question is, what is the Dharma that we are subject to practice, and it should be understood in terms of the path which would lead us to something which is the wholesome.
아니 라니 좀비쇼라 가르치는 조그레스 셀라와이나 아니 라나라게 아니 라니 좀보인반 진딩이 쪼쪼로라 달레톰보 달레톰보 라치 통생에 대시라 카보로 와서라 달레
So now you may wonder why we should be something that is wholesome, our action should be the wholesome. So in generally speaking, you know, when we talk about the wholesome act that we carry out, that everybody may have that sensibility towards the one's own actions as something which is
wholesome.
So when we look at the metaphysical aggregates that make up our existence of the human form. So if you look at the constituents of the constituent that make up the aggregates, if you look at into detail, so what the nervous system or any kind of constituents which is detrimental to or something that is favorable to our motivation or whatever the acts that we're carrying out. So if we judge from the overview perspective, then we can figure out how much that can be contributing factors or how much that there could be a detrimental factor. Particularly if you look at the tendency or the propensity that we have, you know, if you look at our propensity, it is of such a nature that we have the propensity to lead our actions toward that is detrimental to the one's own being and self and others, both self and others. When we encounter with any negative like situations.
Pena zangshu ki kecha. Zangshu ki kecha pena shamba de nyenji da tsewa se de kecha che so na. Ji rang me ba lang sang ye joba joba che yong me do ala da so.
In contrast to that kind of negative propensity that we have, when we talk about the wholesome acts, such as like developing the compassions and then extend that compassions to the awakening mind and so forth, you know, which we may find very difficult to cultivate with, in general speaking. So what this would indicate would be our mind is or has been influenced by that kind of negative situations, which would propel our mind, have that some kind of the characteristic or the propensity. So once we have recognized that such a potential and the propensity that we have that tends to act the negative actions, now the question is, if there's any way in which that we can really transform our that kind of afflicted mind. And then, develop a certain knowledge and then affirm oneself to cultivate the wholesome acts.
Then the susugin depa druji ji thoji re ma do ji juta ji mare la da ko nambi chi ji ko sketch mare rani ji depa druji ji thore la da.
So when we talk about the cultivating the wholesome acts or our actions that needs to conform with the spirituality, it should be seen as just a mean to, create the positive, environment, not for just oneself, but for all the others as well. But it shouldn't be seen as something that is the ultimate goal that we are seeking, but we can use it as a means to make ourselves happy and thereby contributing the happiness around the people around us. So these kind of the methods or mechanism by which that we can transform our this kind of deluded or afflicted state of mind into the wholesome is presented in the Buddhist scriptures. It's mainly, we can see it is, presented for the purpose of the one's transformation into the goodness. So if you look at the studying of that kind of mechanisms that is presented in the Buddhist scriptures, you will find that the evidence that we can trace down how much the contributions that made in the past, if you look at the spiritual master in the past, and it is contributing at the present, and it will be contributing in the future as well.
When you go to the one cut to Lanet Tongina, Royal Landichim on the Sumba Nagichi, also Mamma Yosu Zoba Yikelina, Lumba de la Sunjay Lenhempa Kang, Lekoko, Miss Sugo, Made Salad. Ran Rangi Tin Ranka Dambar on Sujin, but she didn't want to run Shuji Degger Salad.
So, this is a hypothetical case, Just imagine how wonderful that would be if everybody in the town or the city is able to study and the stages of the path to enlightenment that we are studying today and implement the scriptural knowledge into the daily practices. Then probably we can say that we wouldn't need the security, council. So that is, we can envision such a possibility. So if you look at even within the family level, if all the family members are really, down to the earth, where they can practice the where the family members can adopt that kind of altruistic aspiration or the attitude, then it would be a very peaceful family.
Bena ama yi ro rani le baba za chio babe rani le ama za chio ni bui yi rani le pama za chio pame rani le bui za chio ji cha su na na bian zhe le gai ni jie che ge ma le la da
for instance if the dad would have the altruistic attitudes towards the mom, and whereas the mom would have that altruistic attitude towards the father, and also among the children, they have that altruistic attitudes toward one another, then the family, the whole family, would be very in a peaceful and a serenity. So that is the consequence or the resultant state which the Dharma can lead to. So with that kind of recognitions, and we can at least make a pledge within one's mind that we determine and be tenacious about whatever it takes, but determined to be a good person, the wholesome persons, our actions, make sure that our actions are the altruistic attitude. Then we can have that kind of pledge, right? Imagine that the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas right in front of you, and then let's at least we pray and envision such a possibility of cultivating that kind of altruistic attitude. Let us meditate and pray for such a cultivations of altruistic attitude right in front of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas in your imagination, and let's see how our mind is receptive or ready for cultivating that kind of altruistic attitude. So when we're talking about the cultivating of the bodhicitta, the awakening mind, even there's an expression that even that just to have a glimpse on such a attitude, the altruistic attitude, has the capacity to produce the infinite kind of merits.
So
So with these the cultivations of the altruistic attitude, we are listening to the great treatise of the path to enlightenment, the stages of the path to enlightenment, which teaches all the path which would lead the ordinary beings from the leisure and endowments that we have in this life until the state of until the Buddhist ideal of the attainment of the Buddhahood.
Mm-hmm. 된뒤 허제 좀버데 수송바리 세소나 아니 허제 좀버데 토마스 산제 잔데데 생이 되게 송바리스.
So these kind of the advice, to us was originally taught by the past historical Buddha known as the Shakyamuni Buddha.
바도 쇼주 세마나제 냐네체네 아니 라지레 데와 총바레스라다.
And in the middle there were the Bodhisattvas who adopted the advices of the Shakyamuni Buddha and implemented that the scriptural knowledges or the intellectual knowledge into the practices, and they have gained the spiritual realizations and the resultant state.
Mm-hmm.
And the final, we have approached to that stage whereby the past, the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas have gained such a resultant state. So now the question is, what is their really characteristic which is unique to these the Buddhist teachings? We find that it is a spiritual advice which would contribute the one's transformations of the mind. So now the question is, how do we listen to or approach to that kind of teachings as a student? And also as a master, then how to expound or how to teach that kind of this the text.
Mm-hmm. So you choose it in a tantaranji heba chegose, chico marilla, the choosing it. And then you didn't know about the carriage again, says one. And yet, Tanjishiva, Nagi, Taya, Bessanjata, they ordered to be Tantala, Ningin, Yokinda, Salagoma, Tananga machine, Taranchi, Sankuchan, Pentum, do say, catch a marilla. Go, Jisu, my neighbor, then you didn't do it.
So what the key elements that would require within the domain of us when we listen to such a teachings is we need that the altruistic attitudes and we need the really determinations to pursue that spiritual goal until we attained the state of enlightenment, not just for oneself alone, but for also for the all infinite numbers of the sentient beings. So, so now listening to the Dharma or the practicing Dharma should not confine to something that can be carried out within a very short period of time, but rather, we need the patience and, and the sustain that kind of
determinations for the rest of our life.
So such it is kind of like customary, you know, to repeat the, all the different categories that we have covered so far. So here, how to listen to the explain is actually the third categories of the Lamrim teachings. After the preceding two categories, the presentation of the greatness of the teaching's author, in order to establish that the teaching is of noble origin. And the second being the showing the greatness of the teaching itself in order to engender the respect or reference for the teachings. And then we have the fourth one is how to lead the student with the actual instructions, which has the two categories. You have how to rely on the teacher, or the spiritual master, which is considered to be the root of the path. And then you have the stages of how the students train their mind after they have relied on the teachers, and which has also the two the subdivisions and exhortations to take a full advantage of a life of leisure and opportunity. And you have the how to take that full advantage of life of leisure and opportunity. So the second one has the three subdivisions. The training the mind in the stages of path, share with the person of the small capacity. And the second being the training the mind in the stages of path, share with the person of the medium capacity. And the third being the training the mind in the stages of path for a person of a great capacity. So out of these three, now we are discussing on the first one, which is the training the mind in the stages of path, share with the person of small capacity, which has the three categories. The training the mind in the actual the actual training of thought for a person of a small capacity, and then the second being the measure of the attitude of a person of a small capacity, and then you have the clearing up the misconception the concerning the attitude of a person with a small capacity. So out of these three, we are discussing on the first one, which has the two categories, the developing the state of mind that strive diligently for the sake of the future life, and the second being they rely on the means for achieving the happiness in the next life. So here we are on the rely on the means for achieving happiness in the next life.
Then jiteshima de yitau tenba se den jiteshima yodo me sengi de doba jen me jiteshima yoba de jache jare roa jiteshima yoba de jache jare lao shi da le nomba.
So when we talk about rely on the means for achieving the happiness in the next life, the first of all, we need to ascertain that there's the life after death. So what do you think about it? To me, you know, I'm very confident there is a life after death. That's for sure.
There
has been evidence of even within the kids, you know, apparently in the Amdo region in Tibet, the eastern part of Tibet, where the one of the kids, they remember clearly, the kids, the her, you know, the mother or Amazon farmer. Lamsun angedi.
Jami rendo wa jami nang hamane kaje pe juwa drone so de kaje jami chi kuli chen andolon ban nang ga so nge che ni te shuma drone pe ge de jo de andolon ban che do ki jo.
Sorry, misunderstood. There's a clearly, you know, they can recall the past life, and that the one of the child, he can recall the his previous life and being as a the road constructor in China.
The Jawa de chi su yun ju ge sheng yong da ji kuan ne Jawa de yun ju bu ge de ge pa ma ni zhan ne ge she zhe san zhe du shi gang ge dan da di gan bu zhen du de an du ge jie ne ngai bu ge wu de ye si bu si zhen xue xie ge de yun ju ku pa mi zhen ne ge she zhe san zhe de bu qu bu ge de jia de ji jiao yin ba ge she ga de xie de si de si bu xin xue du ko an du ge yin zhan ge su ga ka su ge wu de.
So that kid, you know, he spoke in the Amtos, the dialect, you know, in very different, you know, accent, that different accent from the how I speak. So it's hard to listen to, but you know, still, you know, I could understand that what he says in Amto dialect, that he was saying, like, you know, he was, you know, he recalled the previous life. And then there's some kind of ascertainment that we can derive out of his statement.
Jidun tombo yongda chene tenri ki bugi jiang hama chenye jindu sen ando koron ne yongda chan doa. Ani kushu de che de ni ne pama dang pasun ne zaji dang ne pe ne sibo shi undu di ji ma bin che ge ya di ji ji bian jo de ge ge ma ri ngoye ne si re sen ku shu hi ge du.
So that news of that the particular kid, you know, who could clearly remember, recall his past life, in that region, in that particular region, and there was the, you know, ascertainment that that made by the local people. That's amazing.
Tela supe ye kanje chewa ngama tenge de pe mongbo yor wa la da yin san chewa shim ma de chewa ngama chewa shima yo na ani chewa ngama yo ba ten ki ba de da ro nga de ji chewa ngama yin sing ye de le so na ani nga so no de jin do go ba de se bo se jan cha ge de la da.
So generally speaking, the way we establish there's a life after death is by means of having evidence that, like, just like a child that who could recall his past life, and we can ascertain particular history that accord with what the reality happened in the past, you know. So by affirming that kind of reality and the ascertainment that made, not just in this the particular kid, but there are some more examples that we can find within the world today. So that is how we actually establish that it's a life after death.
Mm-hmm. Rāwa me di yin chi le chū gu gu rā, lō kē gu gu rā, tā lū sul kē gu rā sā na, ni jāni kuñchū sū lō kē gu rā sā di, ni tā tā jāwa chā gu rā sā na, tā kē chā di.
So now the question is, since, you know, we can envision the existence of life after death at least, and then now the question would arise that, now what would happen so after we die? So If we are ignorant about what is going to happen in the life after death, then it is not really desirable. So now what we should do is we should really seek the means by which that we can really assure that our life after death would be a very successful one by means of relying on the master who can really show you the great path, which is reasonable, which is rational, which can be accord with what the reality is.
Mm-hmm. Then you get the general control sonary, general control sonary, and get your just like a central control, and you think career is a lot of sonar, and that's all you get a cut to hear set the line. Good union, then there are so you and then 2G and then 10 legend, then do so you are just saying.
So, okay, it is not just the master. but also the three Jews we have been talking about, the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. So when we talk about the Buddha and Dharma and Sangha, of course, you know, the first of all, we need to understand the definition of what the Buddha is, what the Dharma is, and the Sangha is. And we need to develop the insight into what the qualities that have each and every different that objects of the refuge. Then it comes out the Buddha's, the enlightened qualities, and the Buddha's enlightened activities, the quality of the Buddha's enlightened activities, and so forth, that come into picture.
Then open and also Jetan and Rani Kanga Shuji Tres on a Kanga del Job de Zevala, Nipa Yangel and Jimmy Joji in the Mato, the Habuachil Jojinus, Pentogomar, Rani de Chipar Wasalat.
So when we talk about the taking refuge in general sense, that even within the conventional reality, you know, the mundane concerns that we have, so in order for us to, in order for us to overcome with some kind of the difficulties or the strategies that we find in a mundane concerns, of course, you know, we need to seek someone who is capable of, overcoming that, extend his or her health for us to overcome that kind of difficulties, which is very obvious. So now here we are talking about what qualities there are within the Buddha's body and the Buddha's speech and Buddha's mind. So we have already discussed on the qualities of the Buddha's body and speech so far. Now we are on the Buddha's mind, the qualities of the Buddha's mind. Right, Tibetan term that Lunga Yisum, it's the body, speech, and mind of the Buddha. The Lunga Yisum is Tibetan term for the general term for that we use for one another. But when we use the terminology for the Buddhas, and we use the Gusung Tuk, which is a honorific in the form of the body, speech, and mind.
So the
Buddha, the body, speech, and mind is the primary substance that we have as from the ordinary level until we attain the state of enlightenment, where we would have the exalted body, speech, and mind of the Buddha. So this is the three door through which that we engage in the actions, whether it be the positive actions or the negative actions. So we need to have the mindfulness and the vigilance over whatever the actions that we carry out through that three doors, the body, speech, and mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really sure about how to exalt the physical body, this particular physical body, into the exalted within this lifetime. But we can sure that at least, we can transform the speech and the mind that we have possessed in this particular state of mind at the current. That is for sure. So when we talk about the qualities of the Buddha's mind, there are two aspects of the qualities of the Buddha's mind, which are the qualities of the wisdom aspects, which it realizes, and the method aspects. That is the compassion.
그러면서 선제기 살려줘라. 변은 샤이쇼바니 나인기 거스데 친세니 보디인지 미지거라. 친세니면은 선제 살려줘야 말살라다.
So metaphorically speaking, you know, these two aspects of the method and the wisdom aspects are as important as a bird, you know, the two wings a bird would require to cruise across the ocean of samsara or the cyclic existence.
但是上节以上节产能用亲自你把它给全部也把它接到阿里的我们节能上但是当然如果你的亲笔也得呢是现在接到我的今天把它就拉今天把它接了拉地的接着下把它前把头把名啊就把现在他到了土土笔前笔前面这土笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前笔前
Okay, so the good qualities of the Buddha's mind, it reads that these are explained in terms of the good qualities of knowledge and the good qualities of caring. I mean, this is the two qualities that we have been talking about, in other words. So the good qualities of the knowledge, without obstructions, the Buddha's knowledge contacts the real nature and the diversity of all phenomena, as if there were a dhatri fruit placed in the palm of his hand. Thus, the sage's knowledge comprehends all phenomena, whereas others' limited knowledge cannot comprehend the vast objects that are to be known.
Sanjayi Timo Mahimi, Chimba, the Zewa Ninga, the Shanju Sambali, Yuris and Yuris another. Chinzini Yende. Sanjay Mahimi, Shanju Sambali, Yuris another.
So, when we talk about the qualities of knowledge and the good qualities of the caring, as far as these two aspects is concerned, it is not really confined to the Buddha himself or herself, but rather, you know, even the Bodhisattva could have these two good qualities.
Mm-hmm. Shanshu Semba Tang, Sachuba Menchula, Mabat Kariyo Madis on the Raw, Pena Chitawa Segura, Pena Tumba Nil, and Yamba Jajin Binangani, Nane, and Zawan Hinji Chimbu Lekacheba. Zawan Hinji Chimbu Lekachin Bingani, and Tumba Nitova singing the Yomadisalat.
So now, what would deprive within the domain of the mind of the Bodhisattvas on the ten ground and the lower? Or the inferior, the lower, you know, the ground, and the 9, 8, and 7, and so forth. So what they don't have is, while they are meditating on the emptiness, they cannot have the compassions at the method expert at the same time, which can function spontaneously. So whereas they can engage in the method expert of the compassion, but they cannot have you know, the wisdom realizing emptiness at the same time, directly perceiving the emptiness at the same time is what is deprived of the Bodhisattva of the ten ground and the lower. So the way by which the Buddha perceives the emptiness of the all phenomena is as if like that we are seeing the form, the physical form, which is very clear. So now what the unique feature that the Buddha has is the Buddha can have spontaneously these two aspects, the wisdom realizing emptiness, the direct realization of emptiness, and you know, the compassion for all living beings simultaneously.
Mm-hmm. 단단하게 파시한테 비중 시작 재소나 아니 터도 싫어니 보데 각한로 그랬을라다.
So when we talk about when we describing on the the wisdom realizing emptiness, that the method aspect of the compassion, according to the sutric texts, the sutrayana. So obviously, these two aspects should be seen as the two different entities, in contrast to the union of the wisdom aspect and the method aspects, according to sutra.
Sang jebi ne kasa le sona ani dak deni chi cha de si se gro chi cha de si di pe che lo jung ngo chi lo do ba ta de se na re kan che chi cha ro gro sona da
kan des la
ro wa yi sang jebi ne kasa la ani lo ta de ba de ge ma re je wa hin ji chen bo kono ra ye tong ba ning ngo su do do gre tong ba ning ngo su do lo kono je wa hin ji chen bo ra cha gre ra cha se na kan che si jin le je wa ju gre yang ji nga su sen de sen ju ye no ba ji
So now when the individuals have these kind of two aspects separately as the two entities, so when they have when they have attained the state of enlightenment, and where the culminating point where they have they see the all phenomena, and these two aspects, the wisdom aspect and the method aspect, emerge into the single entity, which is the union of the wisdom aspect and the method aspect at the same time, simultaneously. The Bodhisattva on the 10th ground, or you know, if he would to enlighten the next day or tomorrow, today he would have there some phenomena where you know he could really ignore or obscure to see the phenomena as they really are. So when he obtained the state of enlightenment tomorrow, the next morning, then his knowledge would be the object of knowledge would be equivalent to or the commensurate with his the spectrum of whole spectrum of the consciousness. So here it reads, you should reflect on this knowledge as it is described in the text known as the press in the honor of one worthy of honor. Only your sublime wisdom comprehends all objects of knowledge. For everyone other than you, there are objects yet to be known. And also, O Bhagavan, that refers to the Buddha, The entire origination of all types of phenomena throughout time is within the range of your mind, like an ambulant fruit in the palm of your hand. Now the question is how the Buddha understands the object of knowledge or the phenomena. He would perceive the phenomena as they really are at ultimate level as well as at the conventional level.
Pena yu, du, gun, roa, naso, ji, pena kasagoro, yula tene, yang, tene chungare singich, any ji, kepane tarin tushina, telatin, kanji kana yang kede yo madis, and what you are. Kana yama tomba yo madis, as a shaza kede, kana tenso yo madis, and you are.
So what we're talking about is the, how the Buddha understand the reality at ultimate level and the convention of as well. So this would encompass the in terms of history and the characteristic of the each and every single the different entities, as well as you know the manner by which that it exists, and so forth. So you seem to be very interested in listening to the Dharma tonight, and if you are really interested in this, then I would really like to go by word, you know, want to describe the word by word. But sometimes, you know, I'm very cautious about if you are getting bored by, you know, describing on the very details. So this particular text, what is known as the praise in honor of one worthy of honor, was originated made by the non-Buddhist philosopher. He intentionally made that for praising the qualities the Buddha has, you know. So that is how it evolved. So here the significant point that he the non-Buddhist philosopher that he made was the Buddhist knowledge is very equivalent to whole spectrum of the reality, and the other than the Buddha, the no one has that kind of capacity to comprehend
exactly how things are.
So and he made the significant point that the how Buddha perceives the all phenomena as if and that we ordinary people would perceive the particular the transparent the alaban or what do you call it the datri fruit in the palm of your hand. So just as like that we clearly see that kind of transparent the fruit, the Buddha would perceive all the phenomena exactly how they are, not just the present moment but also the past, the present and the future, the whole spectrum of the time frame. Of course, when we talk about the objects of knowledge in a general sense, for instance, there's a form that we can you know have the object for the eye sense. And the consciousness is the agent, a consciousness is the subject which perceives the object, whether it be form or whatever. So when we talk about the subject and object in this particular context, the subject entails or necessarily to be the consciousness, the instant of the consciousness that perceive the perceived objects.
Tu jetare chuna yoda ma yowa singe de do yowa singe de ni chi chi sanje la ja ma yowa singe de ni de jite kono la ja go do jite je kan ma zu chi chi sin ma da be sanje da ji jite chi 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 sanje da ni ko wa da ko yi mi sanje singe de ke shi shi go ro yowa singe de ni chi chi sanje la ja ni ma yowa singe de ni chi kono la ja go do.
So, of course, you know, when we talk about the objects, that would encompass the external world, you know, external world and the internal world. Internal world refers to the inhabitants of the earth or the world.
Mm-hmm.
And this the Tibetan term, the yowa, it refers to, Yowa literally means something that moves, and miowa is something that is non-moving or inanimate.
Jidan kwa da kwa po ni po te kwa po te des jidan ina chi yonsu zo me po te chaye ma re da ko juwa do ye de kwa po juwa do la de chi yo ro da yo de me ti ale ti de chi ma jen de ju da chi di ni pa de le chi da na so sing de ro ma so ye na chi de ka ro ye go re sa la da.
So what we are talking about here is we are talking about the reality in the context of the conventional reality, whether it be the world and the inhabitants, or whether we are talking about the entity that is the oneness or the multiple. So there's the different diversity and the multiplicity of the conventional reality.
Maso ye bene deme drubi riba chi ti te riba se de roa yo na chi da karo ye bi cha roa chi da me chi da karo me na me gor ta kanje.
So whatever the conventional or the relative phenomena that we are perceiving on, it is necessarily to be either the single entity or that is the multiple. So when we talk about the objects of the Buddha's knowledge, which can prevail on whole spectrum of reality and the phenomena, across the whole phenomena, so it would also encompass the oneness and the multiple, as like you can exemplify the Buddhist knowledge as the space. It's like a spacious mind where there's no any the space where there's no any obstructions for the Buddha to see what the reality is.
Mm-hmm.
So with these kind of recognitions or our development of the insight into the good qualities of the Buddha's mind, particularly the good quality of the Buddha's knowledge and the caring, and we should. So if you get a pain in your knee, then probably you pops up some kind of anger towards the master, since you have to sit down for a long time.
So generally speaking,
if your knee is covered by something, that keep it warm, then it should be okay, no pain.
So now we
are going to read the passage that relates to the qualities of the the Buddha, the particularly the qualities of the good qualities of the caring.
Duwa zui yun dian ne tan ji chang ma luo xiang yi da. Zui yun dian ne sheng song duwa. Zui yun dian ne sa. Sheng jian no ni mo ji rang wa mian ba jin ba xian du. Tu ba yang ni ji qian bi rang wa mian ba jin bi. Ru wa no dong hen wa zi ba na. Tu ji qian bu jin mi qi ba jie ba de se. Jia nga ju ba le song duwa. Di ba da luo ji da.
So here the text reads, in the same way that living beings are bound inescapably by the afflictions, so is the sage or the Buddha bound by the great compassion, which thus arises continuously as he beholds the suffering of the living beings. So you should reflect on this as set forth in the press in the 150 verses.
Kare yu ongi rangwa yu ma resa na, nyumo ongi rangwa yu ma resa. Ani, tuba kare yu ongi rangwa yu ma resa na, niji chenpo ongi rangwa yu ma resa.
Just as like we are deprived of some sort of the control over one's own the domain of the mind, you know, which means that we are under the control of our affective emotions. You know, the Buddha is, you know, deprived of his own kind of control. In other words, that the Buddha is, you know, highly influenced by or the dominated by his loving kindness for all living beings. So we are actually, you know, the binded by our ignorance, and which is the underlying cause of the all the afflictive emotions that arises.
Ta jangan je pale je. Rowan de da thangje ne chime nyemo na ji jin. Chuen ru yin nyemo da. Jule yurin tuji dang xie dang re dongbo gong xie xia jin yuan de gang ge kuo chang jun re jun qin yurin de da bu xiu zi tuji ji qie wa ji xie dang song du.
So here it reads, the affliction bind all these beings without exceptions. You, in order to release them from the afflictions, are eternally bound by compassion. Should I first make obeisance to you or to the great compassion that causes you to dwell for so long in cyclic existence despite knowing it's
false?
So, the generally speaking, the existence of the Buddha, as far as the existence of the Buddha himself is concerned, of course, the Buddha would abide that so long as there's a being which is under the domain of, which is under the dominate of the afflictions, until that our all afflictions are dispelled.
Mm-hmm. Now
the question is that what caused the Buddha abide within the samsara or the cyclic existence in order to dispel our ignorance and afflictions is the great compassion that he endowed with. So you may find it very difficult to ascertain the such existence of the Buddha who endowed with such a great compassion for all living beings equally, immortal or the impartial compassions. So it would be hard right in the beginning where our mind is polluted by or obscured by the sudden knowledge of the Buddha Dharma right in from the beginning. But you know, once you have developed the sudden knowledge, then it would be more familiar to you, and then more conducive for you to develop such a possibility of the existence of the Buddha, who endowed with such a great compassions. So as far as the establishment of the existence of the Buddhahood or the Buddha, there have been multiple events where the higher beings would encounter with the Buddha, or he or she would understand the Buddha, and by imagining or having some sort of dream, in a dream state, one can envision the possibility of the Buddhahood or the state of Buddhahood, even within the dream state. Then once you have familiarized with that qualities of the Buddhahood or the Buddha, more extensively, successively, and then you would have, you would encounter with the state of Buddhahood or the Buddha in person, in a real life where we can have the interactions with. So that is possible. So here it reads that also the text known as the Chapter of the Truth Speaker says that the Supreme Sage or the Buddha feels great compassion when he sees beings whose minds are constantly obscured by the dark gloom of ignorance, locked in the prison of cyclic existence or the samsara. So when the text reads that the beings, you know, whose minds are constantly obscured by the dark, the pitch black of ignorance, obviously we might not feel ourselves that is the one of the beings that who are in such a state.
Mm-hmm.
So do we? So So now the question is the how that the mental state of ordinary beings is in the darkness of the pitch black or the pitch black of the ignorance. It tends to perpetuate that kind of state. So the ignorance in terms of the situations where we cannot really comprehend the physical object, just as like the eye, the bare eye, you know, cannot really see. So when we talk about the ignorance, obviously, you know, this can be interpreted in the many different levels. For instance, there is an instant of consciousness where we can look at the particular phenomena as a form phenomena, for instance, like a vase or whatever, you know, where our attentions can be distracted by some kind of the sounds, the pleasing sound. Obviously, we are seeing it at that moment, but we are not cognizing it at the particular particular state. It's kind of like absent-minded state.
Ji jima ji yin ne kyeche te tsu de ni che te thong song se. Oh, nga ji kwa ndog che song da ga re ne ten de she ma song se ji jin yu yo wa sa la da.
So there are instances where that you may have the things that appear to you but yet not ascertained that things exist right there. So that is, this is what you call this is what is called nalamanya in Tibetan language, which is the absent-minded. It's appearing, but it's not cognizing. So this is, you know, our mind really tends to be in that certain state where it is absent-minded. Which is one of the mental factors.
The karecha go or sesona timu ye mepa te se yon de ene mi yi zu thon na ye yugo bi ne zi de jema thon ya de yi ji hi be thon go or la da te ma thon pa de kan je sang je ro ya ma da.
So when we try to establish the Buddhahood, the state of Buddhahood, of course it should be understood in terms of the level of the consciousness where we can really cognize precisely exactly at the present moment. So when we talk about that, and then of course, you know, it is very important to have this such a state of mind where we are not just having things to appear to us and not really cognizing. So this is like ignorance. It's one part of the ignorance. When we talk about the meditation session, or when we are engaging in the practice of meditations, obviously our meditation should be focused on eliminating the ignorance. We should really cognize the objects, what they really are.
Insan dendri ge mipa ge zora no lo le sibi sinje de da la ge ji zon lu da tu ye ro wa pa yu ma xia wa chen ne ni zong de de ning ye sang je song wa da.
So on these kind of the beings with such a state whose mind is in the state of the pitch black ignorance of ignorance about how things really are, so there's a disparity between how things appear to us and how things really are. So that kind of tacit acceptance of how things are that we ordinarily have is really or are and have been so far the object of the compassions by the Buddha.
Sanje la chansung denba, chansung tangba se la goyo kansa, chansung se son na cha zin chi emi shima denba den chang, denba den tu chansung se. Ani dendri ki denba ki tatu ba de sar san na sanje ro wa.
Okay, when we talk about the Buddha, the truthful or the sincere Buddha, which implies that the Buddha is the state of mind where who have the deprived of any sort of motivations to lie, the preach something that is not conformed with the reality. Conformed with the reality, or in accord with the reality.
Sibin de che jansan hua na zine je yu tuji chenpo che.
So here the text reads, the conqueror feels great compassion when he sees beings whose minds are overwhelmed by attachments, who have great craving and always long for sensory objects, and who have fallen into the ocean of the cravings attachment. The one possessing the 10 powers feels compassion, which seeks to dispel all suffering. When he sees the afflictions of beings harmed by the multitude of the illness and miseries, and the sage's compassion arises constantly, it is impossible for it not to do so. The Buddha is free of faults because he is concerned with the needs of all living beings. So the seeing the flaw or the drawbacks that the ordinary beings have due to the ignorant mind that we possess, for that purpose, in order for this kind of dispelling that kind of ignorance, the Buddha would abide, and he abides. So the one way of understanding our ignorance is our state of mind is seduced by the craving, any form of the craving, whether it be the attachments toward the physical objects that is seeable or it's hearable, whatever it is, So when we talk about the overcoming that kind of ignorance, or in other words, the Buddha's compassion. You can understand this, what the characteristic of our ignorance, which play a role in terms of obscuring from seeing what the reality is really that kind of ignorance is really dominating us in the form of attachments. So our mind would get distracted by the attachments in the form of the ignorance, not being able to see what the reality is at the ultimate level. So that is how it is dominated by, or you can say another word would be that our ignorance would dominate our state of mind, or you can say its influence on us. So if you look at how difficult it is for dispelling or the overcome the state of mind where it is totally dominated by one's craving or attachment towards the objects, whatever the objects may be. So it is equivalent to it's equivalent to the piece of cloth which is pervaded by the drops of the butter, and it's totally moistured or moistened. So generally, there are the three, what is known as the three poisons. You have the ignorance, and then hatred, and the attachment or the craving. So out of these three poisons, the current state of mind is the one of the most dominated by our dominating the our state of mind is the attachment, the craving that we have, which is the most dangerous. So now the question is how that the state of the mind where it's attachment is arises. If you trace down, you know, you will find the underlying cause, which is recognized as the ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there are the instance of the instance of the consciousness where, you know, we are dominated by the hatred, for instance. But it's very occasionally. So it needs to be come across with the certain situations. So it is very conditioned. So out of these three poisons, the prominent or the most significant the poison that we must address with would be the attachment that we have. You know, here we have a metaphor to the attachment, the metaphor to the ocean of the attachment that we abide in. These kind of the instance of the attachment that we have, which is very pervading within the domain of our mind, so all the time, is the one of the primary cause which would lead us to have that all the different kinds of the problems or the strategies. So if you really probe into what unenlightened existence that we are abiding in, we have been abiding in, you know, for aeons, you know, we will find that kind of attachments which really dominate us and, you know, whatever the actions that we carry out, so which is, you know, the actions that we carry out, the most of the time the actions that we are carried out is that, you know, it's seduced by that attachment or the craving for things. So if one is endowed with discerning mind, then, you know, it is very reasonable to develop the compassion for such beings.
Mm-hmm.
So generally speaking, that one may have the propensity to look at that kind of attachment or the desire is not as something that is detrimental to our very unenlightened existence, but rather as something that is favorable to our conditions.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the reasons that in the Guru Puja, the text known as the Guru Puja, states that the ordinary mind would perceive the unenlightened existence or what samsara or the sagli existence as something that is the garden, which is the beautiful nature. So in contrast to something that is, you know, something that needs to be negated or turn your mind away from. So that is one of the reasons why the Buddha has been or Buddha is always there for us, you know, who would who would extend his or her health towards the beings to turn their minds away from the ignorance and the samsara.
가르치는 거 손에 쓰이 주어에서 저하고디 아니 니지 처음에 영어도 배워서 난 애적 주주 제거서라다. 그런 니지 처음에 영어도 좀 바로 왔어. 저 바로 왔어.
So the reason is very obvious in the case of the Buddha's having a compassion for beings. I mean, the reason why he's available, the reason why he's pervasive for us to abide in the samsara or the cyclic existence is it is very evident that he has that kind of great compassion which propels him to be available for us. So if you look at the great compassion that the Buddha possesses and how it arises, obviously, Buddha is not an eternally being as a Buddha, but rather, his state of mind, which is endowed with the compassion, is intentionally brought into as a result of, as a result of the cultivating the insight into the ultimate nature of the reality and adopted what needs to be done, and turn away from what is the negativities. And this is how the Buddha attained the state of enlightenment. That the reason why, for instance, in contrast to our state of mind, the ordinary state of mind, where we are influenced by these kind of attachments and we have the problems and so forth, is due to our ignorance, the tacit acceptance of the how things really are. So we are sort of determined to achieve, based on our understanding of the conventional reality. So any questions? Or I will continuously read. Any questions?
Pena roa ngatsu ye chema nande na lo la duje tu ju kong la de se de roa pena jiwa ma shi yue me se ngen de da ji gomba ta tu ne pen to yue me se ge de se sang je ni zwa ni ji chen bo gomba la de ne sang je chung wa le se de duje ji le ge se la da roa pena duje tu ju kong la de se de ngatsu jiwa mo bo la ni gang ja na ga re pen to yue le se so na ni 산제 전된데 이게 지원 현지 전부 양도 공부를 해야 되네. 조비 산제 이 공부 해 봐라서 해라 한다고 치. 되게 루지를 거용을 했어.
So there's been an establishment of how the Buddha is equipped with or endowed with such a great compassions and how he attained the state of enlightenment. In the particular the text known as the Pramana Vatika Karika. By Dharmakriti, where he states that the Buddha have attained the state of enlightenment by means of adopting that awakening mind or the great compassions for all living beings.
So you heard the Kasanje Siddhi. 그런 지 라신시 두비지 이게 되버지라 피선소바 여바지 나와코는마도 맞춰 나기지 야인로데 코로나들 개발차와지 나와코 보면 도와서라다.
So generally speaking, the one may have the understanding of such a Buddha, the historical Buddha, as someone that who has been eternally like a Buddha, without any causes and conditions, such as like a god or creator, But if you really probe into what the reality is, how the Buddha came into existence, obviously it came into existence as a result of all the favorable causes and conditions that he has adopted. So this is how we should understand what the state of Buddhahood is. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about the Buddhahood or the Buddha, it shouldn't confine to the historical Buddha, but rather the state of mind where there's no negativities and has adopted all the good qualities.
근데 된뒤에 연대 연수 조바기 가사지 가르제는 용초고 그랬어. 로아 소속 산나도 하나. 가르제는 용고 그랬어.
So now let us think the logically or the rationally how that the Buddha come into existence.
Bena rani gi chyo sing de se yeb jin ne je ge le je ge ma le sa le ro.
At the primary level, what we should recognize is the negativity or the negative actions is that is something that really needs to be abandoned.
Chyo sing de se yeo so na ani chyo yong su zo ba se yeo re yeo ma le sa. Chyo gan yeo ro ji se yeo na ro. Chyo yong su zo ba se yeo ba ji ran shu ji le yeo ro le dong bo.
And just, you know, be a logic, you know, rational. If any kind of the flaws or any mistaken views that needs to be abandoned, then it would follow that all the spectrum of the negativities and the flaws, the flaw of views that is ever exist in the world is a subject to that needs to be abandoned or forsaken. So when we talk about eliminating or abandoning something, obviously it would imply that there are something, you know, that needs to be adopted. With that reason, with the ascertainment of all the negative actions or the mistaken view is to be abandoned or forsaken, then there's a combination of eliminations of all the negativities or the drawbacks, and where there's an assemblage of all the good qualities, the such state can be now it's come into picture.
Bena tari mo sana dogo mare bena ro nga la bena di go la nga la mi shi be gi cha yo re si yo re yo mare si chu ski shi na ro di go la nga mi shi ni ji yo re sa na yo re se gum che ro.
So let us you know how we obscure the reality. Let's give an example. So if when we look at the particular objects on the table, that particular entity, then if somebody asks, is there anything in that particular object that you don't know about? So, of course, you know, we would say, of course, you know, there is something that we cannot understand. You know, if you dissect or dismantle all the components which make up that particular entity, you know, and then now the question would arise, is there any possibility of dispel that kind of ignorance? Of course, our current state of mind is such that where we have the comprehensions on the particular phenomena, let's see the object for the eye sense, sensory faculties or apparatus, you know, there's a certain degree of our understanding that we can develop, such as like what color it is, where it is produced, and, you know, what the functionality that it has, you know, and so forth. But in the general sense, or the conventional reality, or the relative, the conventional reality, we tend not to probe into what the ultimate nature of that particular phenomena is.
But
for instance, like how that particular entity come into being. And if you trace down the causes, the cause and conditions that give rise to that particular entity, such as like reflecting on the causes and conditions that give rise to it, and what the nature of it is, and then if you look at that particular phenomena, what is the ultimate nature of that particular phenomena is not really something that is familiar with the ordinary mind. Let us dedicate the merits that we have accumulated by means of listening to the teachings, that particularly that the good qualities of the knowledge and the good qualities of the caring of the Buddha possess. By reflecting on that kind of the Buddha's quality, and we can envision such a state of mind where there's the huge kind of the great compassion for all beings. So now let us pray to the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha that may I be able to adopt that kind of the good qualities that the Buddha has possessed, so that I can benefit the infinite number of the beings.
Yeah.
Chāshī jānsī shūkīn.